So the other day, Pistons announced that they are kind of opening it up, trying to find a GM to work with Stefanski. And, you know, as a little fun for it all, we like to think of ourselves as, well, we're armchair sports talk, so we might as well say we're armchair GMs. And the number one GM, he is the GM of Armchair Sports Talk, Justin Marcus. I want you to go first in this little thing here, buddy. I want to ask you, if you're going into that room, if you're going to be the guy who's interviewing for the job, what's your sales pitch for what needs to be done to get these Pistons back into contention in the East and in the NBA?
I would immediately make a car reference that the gears for this team have been stuck in reverse for way too damn long, and we're about to put this team in overdrive.
Hmm.
I mean, like, that's like the corniest shit someone could say. That's what I would say.
I'd buy it. I'd hire you right now. I really would. And I'm not even a big
talk
fan.
About
and I'm not even a big fan of yours. So that shows you how much you just sold me on that.
See?
Yeah. Well, all right. Dio Pollyroe, you're a little more analytical. You're gonna look at this from the perspective of injuries, and I know you spent all this time looking over the injury history of the Pistons over the last couple months to give us this. What's your say? I can see your face, and you're telling me yes. Can't wait to hear this. As the GM to be, what's your sales point here on why you should be given, you know, kind of control of all this to help turn it around?
Specifically, Mimi.
That word, specifically you.
Specifically me.
What is the voodoo that you do so well?
Well, for me, I sit everyone down, one at a time, meeting in my office, meeting with the principal, and tell them that it is their time. You got to hype them all up individually. You got to make them feel special. You know, it's like when you're back in school and they give you little stickers. For when you have a good day. So you got to pull everybody in one at a time, and you got to hype them up and tell them this is their time. This is finally, you know, not the back and forth, pass and pass, Blake Griffin and who's it, Rich Jackson, back and forth, you know, not getting anything done. This is Pistons. They're going to work. We need to go to work Pistons, like actually going to work. They actually get things done. So, you know, I think it's time where, you know, you rally everybody up and say, you know, let's get this done. Let's go to work.
What are you talking about?
I like that. I like what he said. Don't use that drop.
No, I like everything he had to say.
He's going to work. I'm trying to drive a car. There's a clear difference which one wins. A
lot of difference. Now, the one person, I kind of set Paul up to be this. In reality, I missed my point here. I should have waited one person. Mr. Analytical, our stat man, Russ Ivanek. Again, I hyped Paul up, and Paul gave us a great answer, but I'm going to hype you up a little more. I know you've spent the last couple seasons breaking down the stats, really probably learning more about the NBA than Justin's learned about the NBA in the last month or so.
Hey, he is at a rapid progression.
He's doing a great job.
It is impressive.
Doing a great job. But as a guy looking to take over that GM position, what are you selling as why you should be the guy giving the keys to the kingdom?
Is it too easy to say, since I would take the job?
You're hired. That's it. Nope.
Right?
You're hired.
Like that might be it. If I have to make the pitch, my first pitch is: first off, we got to get you back to zero because this team is in the negative, both talent wise and contract wise. Now the contracts, it's almost going to take care of itself. If I'm going to pat the previous regime on the back, it's the fact that by 2021 there's only two guys under contract, so we're almost at a fresh start. And that's what you need to do in the NBA. You look at Golden State. Look at some of these other teams. You start from zero. You build up from there. There's only three players with a value of replacement over one in the league. Christian Wood, Derrick Rose, Andre Drummond. Drummond's gone. The other two just came to this team this last season. That's my promise. Go dig. Go pick guys off of other teams' benches like Wood. Constantly use the roster flexibility to find some of those guys. The best player on this team isn't on this team yet. And that's what you have to keep doing. Aim for that 2022 window. Push everything into the pile there when everybody but Sekou is off the books. And that's when you compete. When LeBron's old and busted. When Kevin Durant is moving to another team. And Kyrie's old and busted again. Hit the next wave. We know where this one is. Prepare for the next one. Attack that one. That is how you can succeed, build something sustainable. And I won't trade all of our assets for a guy with no eyebrows and a shooting guard who can't shoot, a la Charlie Villanueva and Ben Gordon. I won't do that. So I can't be the worst.
I like it. I like, and you kind of harped on my point. The only difference I'm going to make is I think the best player on this team is actually on this team. He's had a little bit of injury problem, but if I'm the GM, I'm saying, look, we know who we need to build this team around for the next few years. He knows that when his contract is up, he's not going to get a king's ransom from any team. So if I'm the GM, I'm sitting down with Blake Griffin. I'm saying, look, this is what you're going to be offered. This is what we can offer you. The thing we can offer you that another team probably aren't going to offer you, we can literally show you what we have to spend and then say, pick who you want to make a run with. Pick the guys who you want to try help us get here so that we can take a chance we can make a run at this. You know Blake's got former teammates, players he wants to play with who he knows he can get to come here at maybe not a massive discount, but at a lower discount to where we're going to play together, we're going to make a real run of this, and we're going to go after it. So that would be my little sales pitch. GMJ, what do you got?
So one quick thing. Russ made the comment that there's, like, no good future athlete on the roster. I can attest to that because Derrick Rose got hurt in game 2 of my simulation on the team. I don't know if they did it on purpose because I was a power forward and so was he in a way. So they kind of, like, got rid of Derrick Rose. I don't think – is he a power forward?
He's a point guard.
The point guard, damn it. I thought they, like, cleared him out of the way so I can, like, progress down my career path.
No, Derrick Rose's knees cleared him out of the way. They do it almost every season.
The stats, the salt, the sanity, and every so often they talk about sports, too. Here is Eric Dorsch, Russ Ivanek, and Justin Marcus. This is Armchair Sports Talk.
Don't call it playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
All right, welcome into another episode of Armchair Sports Talk. Still doing it from home, still doing it as best we can. Justin's got a giant picture of Gary Bettman in the background right now. We're going to get to that in a little bit. Yeah, that's right, tickle his chin. You know the weird part for me is when Jay keeps moving over, he gets perfectly in line with Bettman, and then he assimilates the soul of Gary Bettman inside of him, and he really is a commissioner we hate. Not just all around during the year when we're doing Holy Mackerel and all that stuff. But we have Jay Marcus, we have Russ Ivanek, and again, we are treated to D.O. Pauliero. Paul, I have to ask, are you still a doctor, or what's going on here?
For 6 million days, I'm working from home, which is perfect.
Yeah.
So here I am again.
3 years without you, and now we get 3 straight episodes with you. It's kind of crazy. But we always love having you. It's another great perspective. Jay Marcus, appreciate you being on. We got a ton to talk about today. We got the match. We've got this proposal for the NHL. We've got a little bit of our own NHL to talk about here at the end of the show. It should be a pretty fun one, Jay.
I am utterly interested in how everyone feels about the return of the NHL. So I'm happy to do this one right now.
Well, I'm interested for that particular segment because I don't have to host it because I don't know anything about it. So that's when I hand it over to the stat man and let him do his co-hosting duties. Listen, if he wants to take the tag as co-host of Armchair Sports Talk, he's got to earn his money a little bit here or there.
I will try. And I will try to do the task that most of the owners probably have failed to do and understand this return-to-play format. Because, oh boy.
Oh boy.
Please help us.
Yeah, please. This could be perplexing. But before we get to that, let's talk about I honestly, for right now, I don't think I'm stretching it too much to say the highlight in sports over the last couple months, because it's the only thing in sports we've had over the last couple months that was that entertaining, and that was the match. Tiger Woods, Peyton Manning take on Phil Mickelson and the shell of Tom Brady. We didn't see a real Tom Brady competitor out there except for a couple holes. Take on each other at the Medalist in Florida in a hurricane. Literally, they couldn't have made it any tougher, but I enjoyed the heck out of it. I know we were texting back and forth throughout it, and because he's the fellow golfer on the show, I'm going to let him go first here. Jay, your thoughts on the match?
I absolutely loved it, and like Phil was saying, this needs to be an annual event with different athletes and just keep it rolling. I mean, it might wear out its welcome eventually, but you can't get better athletes than what they had. Maybe they could get someone to replace Peyton Manning so he'll stop walking in front of a damn camera every time there's a golf shot going on, because that pissed me off to no extent. But it was perfect. It was exactly what we needed, and it couldn't have come at a better time. So I'm ready for the Match 3.0 next year.
The Match 3, and we're going to get to the Match 3.0 because tons of athletes, tons of other people have come out saying they want to be in this. Literally 2 minutes into the start of it, Drew Brees actually tweeted out that they had him and Sergio Garcia have winners. And I think if Capital One is smart about this, they could market this into a serious thing of just like a round robin tournament. Get, you know, give people the same, because I can't think of another time where people are more excited to say, let's mic these guys up. I want to actually hear what, and Phil has actually been approached many times about, would you wear a microphone like out on the tour? And he has said, I'll do it. It's going to be boring as hell for you because we don't talk like this on the tour. You know, I'm not, I don't needle Kevin Kisner about missing a putt after he does it in a major, because that's not how we do this. But there's an opening. There's a chance that we could maybe get mics into sports and be a heck of a lot more entertaining. I mean, I don't think Paul would be too upset. Paul, you'd probably actually watch the Red Wings if we could put mics on them and you could hear what the other team is saying during the game, during a faceoff. And oh boy, would have to be, could you imagine that bleep button?
Ooh, it'd be busy.
But Paul, you said you saw highlights. So I want to ask you, as a, not a golfer, not really, you know, that's not a sport you're, I've been to the driving range with you, and it is fair to say, not a golfer. But that's okay. That's totally fine. Totally fine. You're still a better golfer than Justin, who calls himself a golfer. So I have to ask.
That's not true.
No, you're not. Jay is actually a pretty good golfer. I will give him credit for that. Your thoughts on the match, getting to see guys who are kind of like the rest of us. We're not Tiger Woods. We're not Phil Mickelson. We're mere mortals. We all do slice it into the woods.
Yeah, quickly commenting on my golfing lack of abilities. Yeah, at the driving range, I definitely now hold it like a hockey stick because that's more comfortable for me. I just hit as hard as I can. So, yeah, I have no golfing ability whatsoever, just for clarification.
Just for clarification.
It went pretty much exactly like I thought it would, you know, just based on how their abilities read, you know, Manning's ability to golf versus Brady's. From what it read, Manning was had a little bit more of an edge to his game. All around, I think Brady was a little bit better of a putter heading into this compared to Manning. But I think it went exactly how I thought it would. Brady was making some pretty impressive shots from what I saw. You know, he's making, I think he made an eagle, correct?
Yeah, he after being berated for a while and playing about seven straight really bad holes, he proceeded to hole out for three on a par five. But the thing was, Jay, this is true. I see you nodding your head. They reported it wrong. The ticker said three, but I guess it was a four. I guess at some point he had to take a drop. So it would have been a birdie, but he holed out for a net eagle, meaning they gave him a stroke already. So, yeah, he did technically eagle on the hole. But, yeah, he did.
Okay.
He should Real quickly, Paul. He should have fucking double bogeyed that hole because that was the luckiest shot of his life. He does not have that shot in his bag that much backspin to fall in the cup.
Hold on.
Shots in the bag?
I have played
like
golf
Jaeger?
With you. I have played golf with you. Your moment of fame was when you grabbed the wrong club and putted it 50 yards up the fairway and made it into the hole. That's a lucky-ass shot too, Jay.
No, it wasn't. That was Gil, but we're not talking about me. We're talking about Tom Brady. He does not have that shot in his bag. Yeah, that pissed me off. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Paul. I just hate the fact that, of course, he did that.
That day he had that shot.
No, that's okay.
But back to you, Paul. Your thoughts about this, and I mean, as I said with Jay, and I kind of said introing this, it opens up a kind of a nice like thing of where you literally could have guys who are not PGA Tour players, but you can have professional athletes who play golf quite effectively getting on and playing in these competitive matches where they're mic'd up. And I think it's something almost everyone could be attracted to watching in some way or another.
Yeah. I mean, I immediately think of Happy Gilmore. They could do like a whole pro-am tournament like that, you know, see what Bob Barker's up and Happy Gilmore up to. I don't think there'll be anything quite like that happening, but that'd be pretty entertaining.
Because that's all we need is like Alex Trebek knocking out John Daly in a mic'd up tournament. Because
that is all we need.
Russ,
I'll pay $20 for that.
Russ, you're notorious for whenever we talk about golf, you find the dirty in it. But I'm going to ask you, as someone who I assumed at least watched enough of it to text me the second you found out Tom Brady ripped his pants, your thoughts on this, and is it something that if they could find a way to kind of expand it a little bit, you'd be willing to, you know, to tune into on a more regular basis just to see what you're going to get out of it?
So the answer is the definitive maybe on whether I would tune in later. Yeah. I got to be honest. I tried. I tuned in. I turned it on for a bit. I watched, and I got real. It got real old. You just look frustrated and not happy to be there for the most part. Early. And then he had a tune one of the angels from Angels in the Outfield helped him out with. And, of course, he makes headlines with it after having just a terrible day because Tom Brady lives a blessed life unfairly. But it's – I think you guys are onto something. If they made it something regular, they bring in new people, fresh people, don't do it in the rain. Maybe do putt-putt. That'd be fun. Wild-ass obstacles, the windmill and everything, and just talking shit. That could drive me in a little bit more.
Well, they can't do that. That already exists. Steph Curry has a game show.
Steph Curry's got that.
Is that exact
no
thing.
Kidding.
It's basically Wipeout meets putt-putt. Like, you do the putt-putt, but you have to, like, go over obstacles. Like, you putt it through the windmill, and then you have to find a way to get around the windmill.
Yep.
Yeah. What is the name of this show that I'm going to be watching today?
There's already a season out. I don't remember what it's called. You could probably, if you just go to like type in Steph Curry and putt-putt, you'll find it. But okay. Rob Riggle and then an actual like sportscaster too host it. It's on ABC. Aaron and I watched the last season because it was kind of funny. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I think it's called Holy Moly.
That's it. Holy Moly. Yep. Holy Moly. Oh, yeah. Holy Moly. Okay. Yep.
Fantastic. I will have to try and watch that, I mean, and then wish it was a sport I actually follow.
Basically take Farmington putt-putt course and then put like a giant lake underneath it and then try to get around, pretty much, is what it was.
They should have called it putt-putt or die. Pretty simple. They missed a good one right there.
But yes, anyway, sorry, I didn't want to interrupt, but we can't really do putt-putt just because that already exists.
Okay, well then I guess we'll have to stick with real golf and real then golf. Lean into the entertainment aspect of it. But I will say it was all worth it if for one point, as I called before, the 18th matchup between Brady and Manning decided with number 18's team winning on hole 18. You don't fuck with the numbers, man. I'm just telling you.
Well, I do have a couple things. It was great. It was enjoyable. I do have a couple things. I wrote these down the second this thing started, and the second it was over, I just started jotting down what I wanted to say. And the first thing is, and correct me if I'm wrong here, for those of you guys that watched enough of it, Charles Barkley and Justin Thomas are my new favorite sports casting duo. New favorite. Those two going back and forth was without a doubt one of the funniest things I have ever seen. Jay, I see you nodding yes, so I think you're probably with me.
I mean, Justin Thomas, he was a little awkward at first, but like, I mean, he had the umbrella. It was his first time. He had the rain hitting him sideways. He had a little antenna poking up, which was holding up his umbrella. I mean, he was a little nervous, but he eased into that beautifully. I could listen to the two of them all the time.
Well, and to me, it was just a great moment when, you know, I believe Barkley was talking about like Tiger or Phil hit a great shot. And you said, but that'd be like the equivalent of like LeBron dunking. It's cool, but you expect it. And to which JT responded with, Chuck, I'd like to see your fat ass dunk right now. And I thought that was amazing. That was one of those go after him, have fun kind of moments. And I really enjoyed it.
It was beautiful, man.
Yeah. The other one, I wanted to ask Jay this because, Jay, you're almost the polar opposite of this when we golf. You have a 3-wood, but you never use your 3-wood. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady had a driver, but he didn't use his driver one freaking time, and I'm trying to understand why.
I can tell you, it's the same reason why I don't. You're mitigating risk. if I'm hitting the wood right off the fairways, it's long par five. I just lost 4 balls before I even putting. Brady's doing the same thing. He wasn't going to pull driver. Are you kidding me? He has no driver, so he was just mitigating risk.
And then the last thing before because we do want to talk about like our all-stars who we would like to mic up. I don't know if either you guys, I see Paul doing some things right now, so we'll get back to Pauly Rowe here in a second. I don't know if either you guys noticed this or not, but Peyton Manning's hat game is legendary. Like, this man's hat game is legendary. He changed hats 17 times in 18 holes. And
well,
it was,
when you have 36 sponsors, you got to cover them.
It was absolutely insane. Absolutely epic. I mean, I enjoyed watching it. I think right now I would have taken anything to watch, but you factor in golf, Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady, all these guys, and it just makes it that much better. But it led to actually the question of, like, if we could micro, and it doesn't have to be just for golf. It can be for anything. If you had to mic some guys up, you want to hear what they have to say, who would you mic up? So I'll lead it off just because, you know, mine kind of went all over the place, and I have a feeling that you guys are going to have some pretty out there ones. I stayed pretty conservative, but I could see the fun in it. First of all, I want to see Charles Barkley and Justin Thomas on a team together. JT's a good enough golfer to play. Chuck won't stop talking, and those two will talk trash to each other. Next, this one just be fun for me. I don't care what he plays. He can play any sport he wants. I just want them to mic Kevin Hart up and then make him go against professional athletes.
You suck.
Well, we know one of them. Now, Jay, I've asked you about this before. Have you ever seen, like, the Foreplay podcast on Barstool, the golf one?
Okay, mm-hmm.
They just did it the other day, and they've played multiple ones with Kevin Kisner. So he's
didn't see the match, but I saw they did that.
I haven't seen the match yet either. But so he's just my. I'm putting him as that. I want to see MJ, because we just got done watching The Last Dance, because MJ is self-proclaimed a great golfer. So I want MJ, and then someone like Kevin Kisner, a guy who's on the tour and he's a good player, but he's not Tiger Woods, he's not Phil Mickelson. So those two against the reigning champs, T. Woods and Manning, because I want to see how much trash talk MJ is going to throw at Tiger Woods on his own. At his own game, at his own element, and see how, because MJ is supposedly the greatest trash talker. Let's see how much he does it. Just because everybody likes to assume this guy was such a great athlete that he could play any sport, I want them to put the pads on LeBron James and let him play tight end in a preseason football game. And I want them to mic him up, because I want everybody to hear LeBron James is not as tough as everybody thinks. Put LeBron James against J.J. Watt or Aaron Donald or any of these guys. LeBron James is going to get put on his butt. He's going to get put on his butt a lot. And it'll be just entertaining to listen to LeBron James realize, wow, basketball's not that bad. I'm going to go back to getting fouled. I'm okay with that. And then lastly, this was just fun for me because I know this guy's he likes playing basketball. He's had basketball in a bunch of his movies. I want to see Adam Sandler play five-on-five basketball with a bunch of NBA players. I think it'd be hysterical to listen to. I think it would just absolutely be hysterical to hear. So, Jay, if you could mic some guys up, hear what they have to say in their element or out of their element, who are you micing up?
Man, you took one of mine. I had Kevin Hart, but I had him playing running back with Lamar Jackson.
No, that's good. Okay.
The two of them.
That would have been good. That would have been
good. Yeah, it was a very specific placement. No, I wanted to see him play running back for the Ravens.
God, the helmet would be bigger than him. Like, dear God, okay, all right.
Kevin Hart can probably universally play any sport, and I think anyone would be okay with that. And we can watch him do it and enjoy it.
Oh, it'd be great. It'd be amazing.
I also had LeBron James, so we'll get him out of the way. But I got him playing baseball because I would like to finally have him now be compared to MJ's baseball stint so we can finally put that debate to rest between those two fools.
Okay.
So clearly making it only beneficial to me and probably a couple other people, but I want to see LeBron play baseball.
Okay.
The next two, I think you will all get a kick out of. I broke some rules. Number one, I need a collection of NHL talent to roster an entire soccer team. They are always playing soccer in the hallways before hockey games. You might as well throw them in the sport. Get a team together. I will watch a collection of NHL talent play soccer against anyone in the world.
Okay.
My last one, this is my favorite one. You're going to take commissioners of leagues and GMs from teams and force them to play the own sport that they own and run. So you're going to get Gary Bettman on the ice. You're going to get Adam Silver on the court. You're going to take ownership and leadership and make them play the damn sport that they have all the people playing for them, and then have some more sympathy and understanding of where the players come from when they do things. So it gives them a little bit of perspective, maybe. Some of them probably already come from that line of, hey, I played a long time ago, and now I'm the GM of this team. But I bet you get some owners like Jerry Jones, get him on a field and let him get cracked a couple times, and maybe he'll be a little nicer in person.
Well, Jerry Jones would die if someone hit him. Like, he would just explode. He would just get poof of like dust in the air. It would happen. It would. And then Dak would still not get paid. It would be in his will. Don't pay Dak. So that's going to happen. All right. I like those. Those are good. The GM one would be interesting to see. It would be like fun to see these guys. I've always said I like these commentators, these guys who they played the sport but maybe didn't play it far enough that they can, you know, really talk about it the way they do. I'd love to see them like get out there and like try to hit a shot. Try to, you know, hit a fastball coming at you at 90 miles an hour and then say that person's not that good at what they do, because it really is. It's insane to see. Paulie, over to you. Paul, I couldn't tell if you were ready to go or not. Like, you're such a busy man. I didn't know if you were, like, on a call with someone and just trying to stay with us as best you could. But now I find out you're good to go, so I'm going to make you go. If you could mic some people up, who are you micing up?
Yeah, sorry. A lot less interesting. My dog had something in her mouth, so I had to tend to that.
Ah, fair enough.
So two of mine have actually been taken already. First one was Adam Sandler playing basketball, specifically, as you mentioned, Eric. Just because if we've seen him in movies, you know, balling up in like Longest Yard and things like that. So I think, you know, put him in more of the comedy role in that kind of setting, I think it'd be pretty hysterical. Next I have Kevin Hart, as Justin was saying, but not only just in the running back role, which would be hilarious. I didn't have him any specific team like Justin did, but I had him in the running back role mic'd up and then also playing basketball too.
Okay.
But pretty much like Justin was saying too, like put him anywhere doing any sport and he'll be hilarious in it. But yeah, Kevin Hart was definitely one of mine as well. And then lastly, I have Will Ferrell playing golf.
That could be good. That could be good.
I think Will Ferrell, like comedy-wise, back a few years back and back in the day would be a little bit funnier, but I think he still definitely got it in him to bring some laughs on the golf course as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. I don't know if anybody's seen this. Will Ferrell actually did a thing where he like played every position in like a bunch of different games during like spring training for baseball, and that was hilarious because like they took Mike Trout out of a game and put him in Mike Trout's spot, and then once the inning ended he ran into the dugout and he literally said coach just wanted to make sure he had the right player on the field at the right time. And it's great. Will Ferrell's not afraid to just have fun with people. It is great. I personally, like, I had Kevin Hart with any sport. I would love to see Kevin Hart in this match. I don't know if Kevin Hart plays golf at all, but put him with like Brooks Koepka, put him with like the best player in the world, and then say go, because like, you know, you're gonna get a lot of comedy out of Kevin Hart. You know, when he hits a bad shot, he's still gonna talk. He's not gonna be like Tom Brady, an introvert. He's just gonna make jokes, and it'll be really entertaining to watch. And it combines it in. Like, give Kevin Hart like a month or two to start practicing and get good. Who knows? It could be very fun to watch. It really could. All right, Russ. So we've mentioned a lot of names. So if you can come up with any new ones, I'm gonna love it. Who are you miking up? If you can mic anybody up.
So I got two, and neither of them have been named.
Okay.
I will say it's probably because I wasn't as creative as you guys were. I kind of stuck to sports, but I do have to throw out real quick because it blew my mind fact checking something. Jerry Jones did play college football. He won a national championship as an offensive lineman. Arkansas.
What?
Yeah, teammate of Jimmy Johnson, incidentally, and that's part of the reason why he hired him, and that was very successful for both of them. But him as an O-lineman, I had to bring up because that's maybe the most ridiculous thing, and shows you how much football's changed since 1964, where he won a national championship. I'd still pay to see him play now, especially play offensive line.
Oh, absolutely.
Did he just stuff money into his pads? Was that his padding?
Yeah, he's just got stacks of hundreds up in his shoulder pads. That'll probably help. But my two, first I went with a non-player but still sports personality. He's been mic'd up a bit before, but I just want it full-time and tell the play-by-play guy to stop, and that's Wes McCauley. I just want to hear that beautiful ref, that beautiful drama troll, just make fun of people during the broadcast constantly. That's what we can do. When hockey comes back, just have Wes call the entire game play-by-play. I have not seen another ref trash talk players as much. Just tell players not to do things because, well, you know, I'm going to have to give you a penalty. You'll be mad at me. We don't want anything like that. And just, I've never seen a ref chirp players quite like he does. And I'm here for it. I'd pay for just that broadcast. But if I'm going with a player, in the same vein of this is how the broadcast should be, I'm going with the first baseman who has been kicked out of games for talking to other players, for notoriously pissing off Miguel Tejada for touching the back of his head. I'm going with Miguel Cabrera. Offside or off-field issues aside, this guy is a good personality for sports, for entertainment anyway. And if I can just listen to him make fun of people when they get to first base, and believe me, this team sucks. They're going to be on first a lot. We're going to have a lot of opportunities for this. And he, from all of what we can tell, he loves chattering. He loves talking. He's a good trash talker. And it'd be way more interesting than anything else the Tigers are going to put on the field. And it's the only chance they've got to even get close to worth his contract this year. So, yeah, mic up Mickey. You know, tell Kirk Gibson, tell the other guys, hey, take a break. Just call balls and strikes. He's got the rest. That's just
amazing. I think it would be amazing. To this day, one of the funniest things ever was Miggy sliding into second, Altuve giving him a little tag tap, and then throwing the ball away. And as soon as he threw the ball away, Miguel Cabrera picked Jose Altuve up and held him like a, almost like a baby, because Altuve is like a foot shorter than him. And it's
a baby.
It is a baby. And but it's Miguel. Miguel has fun when he's out there. He knows how good he is, but he also knows that like those little things are enjoyable. They like they get the fans to enjoy the moment, and it's great. Go ahead, Jay.
One quick point. Wes McCauley is an excellent selection. My favorite moment of him, there's a clip on YouTube where there's two people fighting with each other, and he looks at them both, and he's hearing the both guys plead their case. He goes, "Nah, fuck you two both. You're both out of here. You're fucking out." He just was like, "I'm not listening to it. F you both." I was like, that stuck in my head with Wes McCauley. So I would pay to see that.
Yeah. Former Red Wing draft pick, by the way.
Well, you can absolutely mic him up, but the trade-off is you can leave him mic'd up as long as you want, but we'll mic him up on one thing. Joe Buck is never allowed to have a microphone near him ever again.
Okay.
Leave Joe
Any
Buck
deal
alone.
You offer me.
Yeah, that's a deal across the – across. Wait, I'm sorry, Jay, did you have a problem with that?
I warmed up to Joe Buck. Yeah, I don't have a problem with Joe Buck. He's okay.
Take a cold shower and get over it, because Joe Buck is horrible.
I'm so ready for that deal that if I went to a coffee shop, they said my order was $5, I'd give them $10 just to throw in Joe Buck can't announce anymore.
There you go. There it is.
That's how ready I am.
Deal's the deal is the deal, and I will take that deal any day of the week. All right, so moving on, we have to get to this part of the show. This is where we're going to do math that won't make sense because we're going to try to figure out how the NHL thinks they're going to finish this season. They came up with some kind of playoff formula. I tried to read it, but hey, guys, I had a hard time getting through algebra in high school, so I'm not smart enough to figure this out. We might as well go over to a guy who allegedly, we haven't seen the diploma, nor have we ever found out that he officially, with what we can do with technology, he could have just Zoom background himself in the big house. Russ allegedly has a engineering degree from Ford, so we at least know he knows how to count to 10. Russ, we're going to have you explain this to you. So real quick, explain the NHL playoffs. We have
America's most average engineer,
Russ Ivanek. Give it to us, buddy.
For what it's worth, my degree is not from my current employer. It's from Michigan, not from Ford.
I said Michigan, didn't I?
No, you definitely
no.
said from Ford.
I said Ford. Okay, my bad.
Which I would Ford graduate my education yeah. to, but that's a whole separate matter.
Paul went to that school too, so one of you has a degree from Michigan. So.
Yeah, you got a little more prestigious one. anyways, so this, we're calling it return to play because the lawyer that Bettman is, we can't call it the playoffs because of the shenanigans that they're going to pull with the teams that are going to get eliminated in this, not a first round, but first round. So we've got 24 teams, and it's 24 so that Montreal can be involved so that they can get money. Don't fool yourself. That's exactly why the cutoff is at 24 teams. Because it leaves 7 randomly who are pretty close in point percentage at the edge there to make it work. But I digress. It gives us 2 rounds to start whenever we do start. It's looking like the last week of July. At best, we know training camps won't start until at least July 10th. Figure at least 3 weeks for that. That's the standard timing. Maybe we're looking at an August start. But anyways, play-in round. We have our matchups. It's going to be in 2 hub cities, east and west. Locked up. We got Pitt, Montreal, Carolina, Rangers, Islanders, Florida, Maple Leafs, Blue Jackets, and then Edmonton, Chicago, Nashville, Arizona, Vancouver, Minnesota, and Calgary, Winnipeg. They all play each other. Anybody who loses that best-of-five series, they fall into the lottery. Anybody who wins, they actually get into the playoffs. You'll be forgiven if this actually sounds like the playoffs already, because it is. But we can't call it that, because then that would mess with the whole lottery thing that they've messed up. It's a common theme where the NHL is solving problems that they created with this solution. Right? It's very frustrating. Anyways, once we get those, we're not done, because the four teams in each conference who would have been the top seeds, no, they need some games to prepare themselves. Fair. However, we're going to throw out the entirety of the regular season and say, well, Boston and your top seed and your President's Trophy, you better win your next three games or you won't be the top seed. Each of those four teams will be playing a round-robin tournament amongst themselves, where the winners of which will get seeding. So Philly, who made a strong charge and snuck into that fourth seed at the end, right before we stopped, is now three games away from the top seed and the easiest route to the Stanley Cup. Why? Bettman. That's the best explanation I have. So we have two preliminary rounds, not playoffs, the round robin and the play-in round. And after that, we literally don't know. They haven't decided if it's going to be brackets, if it's going to be reseeding, anything. Just that it's going to happen in two cities, and the fact that L.A. is being considered when they have no teams in this is a special kind of funny, because then you'll both have San Jose, Anaheim, and the Kings all looking just down the road at looking at everyone else playing with their toys, and they can't, which is extra funny, especially for San Jose, who doesn't even have a draft pick. So when we get this, probably in August, it's going to be a headache to figure out. Remember, it's not playoffs, because that's going to be shoved down our throat a lot. And they have no idea what to do with the stats, because they're not going to count for regular season for contracts, but they're not going to count for playoffs either for possible contract incentives. So we've fallen into a black hole where players are literally just playing for the NHL and their owners' benefits, and there's a very real chance for the way the draft is shaking out that it's better for your team to lose. Because if we want to get into the draft a little bit here, it's potentially going to be in two phases. They've forced the odds back to what there would have been beforehand. However, anyone that's still playing, so picks 8 through 15, are placeholders. They get their normal odds, but we have no idea who they are. It literally lists TBDA, TBDB, and so on. When they do the lottery on June 26th, if one of those teams gets it, we will then have a second lottery once the actual playoffs start to see which of those teams get it. All of the eliminated teams will be given the same odds in that second lottery. So that means that Pittsburgh, who, mind you, has the seventh best record in the league, if they lose three games out of five to start this, they would then have a 3% chance to get the first overall pick, an equal 12.5% for all of the teams remaining, right? And it's the way the percentages work out. It's important to know, because the way the odds break out, there's a 24.5% chance that one of those teams will get the first pick. You add that to the second pick, the third pick, those chances. Three out of four times you run this simulation, one of those placeholder teams will get a lottery pick. So we have created a problem now where there will be two lotteries, barring literally something that's only happened once in the last 5 years happens. It's creating a problem and solving a problem that you created. There's no reason not to wait, right, not to do this. But we have a very real chance. There's actually a better chance that one of these placeholder teams get the number one overall pick than the Detroit Red Wings get the number one overall pick. It is Ottawa, placeholder, Red Wings. That's how it breaks out for the top. That's how broken the lottery system is, and has been, mind you. But that's our solution. Maybe in August we'll get hockey. Definitely before that we're going to get pissed off about the lottery. And I think I've gone through it. If you guys have questions, we can get through it and start to get some reactions here.
All right, Eric's got a question. Here we go. First question, and this might be showing my hand, and anybody can answer this. So if someone knows, I'm assuming you know, but anybody else can feel free to answer and chime in. Why can't we call it playoffs?
For the lottery, basically, because they're trying to force everything back into the way they are.
Yeah.
So you can't, and the proposal that got floated around that said, hey, the Wings will get a guaranteed top two pick, that got shot down because that was an overreaction to the initial proposal that made it possible to both win the lottery and win the Stanley Cup. Less than a 1% mm-hmm. chance, mind you. But we blew that up and then came through with this. And it can't be called the playoffs because they're protecting their pride on that, that you can't have a team in the lottery and the playoffs. It's dumb. And it's contract incentives and stats for the playoffs that, oh, it doesn't. We didn't have a 2014 playoff, which then changes playoff records. We're in a pandemic. Things aren't normal. Stop pretending that they're normal.
All right.
All right, Justin's got a question.
Go ahead, Jay.
I've got a lot of shit. Like, the biggest thing for me that, like, it's a very small detail, but if they're going to play five-game series, is it really going to go home, away, home, away, home? Like,
but they're all going to be in the same place.
Right. That's not technically decided yet, but they're all in one city.
There's no travel, yeah.
Okay.
All it is,
that was a dumb question.
All it really is just wearing a different jersey.
Actually, it's not that dumb of a question, because if we're trying to contain things, you'd think they just stay on one bench.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
As opposed to switching every other game, right?
I don't know that they'll change.
I don't know how this
can
work.
All right, so then we're going to scrap that. But like, it made me think. Like, I was thinking it was a normal situation. The only way I think they could have done this better is maybe like have the 24 teams all play in some type of final
death match.
I was just going to say death match.
No, just like I hate the idea that Philadelphia can do what they do, or a team like Pittsburgh can drop out and get what they can get. It's like, why not just go, okay, here's 2, 3, 4 weeks of play, and bam, now we go do a playoffs. And then how a lottery can happen at any point in time. Why are we rushing to have one lottery, to have a second lottery, just to have these teams do these things and flux? It's like, you could do a lottery the day before the draft, and they don't give a shit. Like, I know that's not fair to the scouts and the teams.
You want
to
know why? Because that little dwarf that's behind you, he just wants ultimate power. Ultimate power. And so I get to use this. I haven't gotten to use this in months. And for once, it's not directed at you, buddy. But I want to know.
Why are you the way that you are?
I want to know why this man is the way he is. It's bad.
It's weird. I don't like it. It feels more like an idea than a plan. There's a lot of TBDs to figure out the rest of it. It's like, don't half-ass it. Just slow down. No one is holding a gun to your head to do this as the way that they did it. And I think Russ put it beautifully, that they solve problems by creating new problems to then later solve that problem, which will create, you know, it's just, I am happy I get to watch hockey soon, but this is bullshit.
I'm sure you are. Dio, Russ, go ahead real quick, and then I want to get over to Dio Pauly-Rowe.
Yeah, well, I wanted to jump in right before we went to the doctor to get his opinion on this. Remember mumps? Do we really trust that this league is going to be able to contain COVID? Like,
yeah. How do I ever?
I'm with you. But Dio Pauly-Rowe, as someone who has a degree, not from Ford, it's not as prestigious, but you did get one from U of M. thoughts on this? And that Russ actually asked the question I was teeing up for. How on earth do they really think they're going to be able to contain this and all that? I mean, not to get too off topic here, but they're talking about bringing the PGA Tour back in a couple weeks, and they've told you, these guys, you're traveling on, like, you're getting some amenities. You're traveling on small planes, just the players. You're staying in the hotels we pick. You're eating at the restaurants we tell you to. You're basically going to, like, golf and hotel, golf and hotel, golf and hotel. It's kind of the same with the NHL. You're going to hockey practice. You're coming home. You're going back to the hotel. You're coming back on the team bus to play the game. You're going right back to the hotel. I get that in theory there's no window for error here, but let's be honest, there's always a window for error.
Yeah, so basically what this whole thing is about controlling the environment as best as you can, because, you know, this is something that's unknown to all of us. We don't know how to handle it, so this is pretty much the best that we can do is what we're doing. And the NHL, I know that they're trying to do the very best that they can as well, but basically with these two hub cities, narrowing it down, you know, that's a great approach. Particularly, I picked out two cities that I think would be best. First one for the West would be Las Vegas, for sure, because their daily new cases of COVID is around like approximately 100 on average, which is relatively low compared to the rest of the nation. Granted, they are at the very beginning of beginning to reopen the city again, so who knows what's going to happen, but at least from this, you know, looking at things now, they're a good city for that. And then out east, it's a little bit more hairy, because if you consider, like, obviously they're not on the ballot for being another hub city, but New York, they're a definite no. Us, Detroit, definite no. Because you want to have, like, another city with the least amount of burden, whether that be past or present, of COVID. So the one I thought would actually be good is Columbus. They have about, like, 500 average new cases per day, which is still pretty high, because that's kind of where we're at now, is around that. But, you know, Toronto is still up there. Philadelphia would be a terrible choice, because they're still at, like, 1,000 new cases per day or something close to that. So picking those two hub cities, having the same people, you know, the same players in those areas for that amount of time and just hoping everything goes well, is pretty much all you can do. And so, you know, like you were saying, like picking like the same restaurants to eat at, same hotel rooms, like trying to keep everything as standardized as possible is the best you can do. I do like the, you know, playing on the same benches every time, but granted, you know, all those different teams are going to be on that bench as well. But at least if you keep it consistent, that's the best you can do. Like if the choice is to reopen this, everyone starts playing, then that's the best you can do is, from the disease standpoint.
Yeah. All right. So I have another question coming right back to you. But real quick, is it bad that as you're explaining, like, picking the cities and the hubs, all I'm thinking is we could make Mystery Alaska a real thing. Just build a pond somewhere, make it really freaking cold, and just, like, take them all out into the middle of nowhere, Wyoming or something. Build, like, put one of those domes up, build a pond, and say, here you go, have fun. We could make Mystery Alaska a real, yeah, we could make Mystery Alaska a real thing. We could have this. It's real.
Mystery Alaska or the Thunderdome, because I'm not really sure which one it is right now.
I don't know what the cases are in Alaska, but hey, just send them all to Alaska. Pick a little island, and this is where you're staying for a while. See that trailer? It's yours. But no, Paul, my actual question to you is, and this could be a dumb question, but I want to ask it anyway. So where everything goes as planned, they go ahead and do this. They keep the environment as controlled as possible. Now, 2 weeks in, Joe Schmo from the Calgary Flames tests positive for COVID. One, assuming, let's say that, like, because I heard the first one is Winnipeg, Calgary. That's the first matchup. So game two, game three, he tests positive. What does that do? That shuts that entire hub down, doesn't it, basically? You can't risk all those other teams. We can't just assume that it's only Winnipeg and Calgary that we've got to take out of circulation here, correct?
Yeah, that's actually a great question, because
yeah, it is.
It's as infectious as it's proven to be. It's as infectious as it's proven to be. So, you know, you can't just be like, oh, sorry, Calgary, you can't participate anymore. Just you. Everybody else go on as planned. Because then it's like, well, who did Calgary already play? Who did those players also encounter? They were on the same bench as what other team? So it just all shuts down. I would just assume the worst case scenario that they just stop.
Yeah.
Everything just halts right there. Because I don't know what else you would do other than that, really. Because I know that they apparently claim they're going to be testing players, you know, and taking all the precautions necessary, but and me as a doctor telling you, but yeah. Essentially, yeah, I think it all shuts down.
Like, Jay, I saw you put your hand up, so I'll let you go. But it's also that thing, like you said, of backtracking it. You know, Bob from Calgary and Jim from Colorado, even though they're not playing each other, they cross paths for an hour in the hotel lobby. Then it's, well, did Calgary give it to Colorado? Did Colorado give it to Calgary? Now we have to look at all the Colorado teams. Who did Colorado play? It really is one of those things of, you have to trace it all the way through, and before you know it, one hub is down, and all you have is the east or the west hub going, and it is a big throw off. But go ahead, Jay.
So to dig a little deeper on this same topic, look at hockey culture. My gloves are dirty. I'm going to throw them across the bench. I'm going to spit onto the ice. I'm going to share your bottle of water. Towels, visor, here, trainer, take that. Hockey culture has to change, and there needs to be more decorum on the bench. Like, you literally just need to – is it my shift? Oh, okay.
Well, you almost like, need to create cubicles on the bench. Like, you go to your cubicle, you go to your cubicle,
yeah.
Which it's insane to think, but at the same time, it almost is kind of like that – Like that slide down mentality. Like, here are the cubicles. When your shift, everybody slides down, so the next D group goes to the cubicle, kind of, and to keep everybody separate. But I agree with you. Wiping the visors, the snot rockets, and all that. You can't not do these. Like, these guys are so ingrained in that. But it is hockey culture would be very, very tough to. You'd almost have to dial it back to, like, you all have to be robots. No doing anything but just sitting there. Go play hockey.
You know who's going to violate it first?
What's that?
Go ahead, Paul. We'll come back to what I said. Hang on. Go ahead, Paul.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to say, like, because even from the get-go, you can't socially distance in the locker room very well, and you definitely can't socially distance on the bench. Like, even from, the habits aside, like, just sitting next to the guys, like, the bench is not big enough to do that. So it's already not a good environment for it.
Yeah. All right. You were saying something, Jay, real quick, and then Russ will go to you.
It just makes me think, like, who would violate it first?
Sidney Crosby. On
like, Brad Marchand's gonna be like
Brad Marchand.
Yeah. Marchand's gonna lick Travis someone.
Travis Konecny is gonna do his hair flip, and he's gonna go flah, and all his germs are gonna go flying behind him.
You know what it's gonna be? You know what it's gonna be? He's gonna drink out of his mouth, and then Braden Holtby's gonna spray water in the air that's got his germs on it, and it's gonna land on everybody because he does that stupid water flip thing that got me wet when I was sitting behind the net that one time. It's ridiculous.
Got you wet, huh?
Got me wet. Got me wet. Russ, over to you real quick, and then we're going to move on to the final topic of the show.
Yeah, I had a first-time caller, long-time listener. I had a question for you. So, two players on teams right now, diabetic, Max Domi and Capo Caco. I've been led to believe that makes you at a higher risk for complications with COVID. I guess, first off, is that a rumor, or is that truth? And is it even worth it to expose them to that when their symptoms could be so much worse than everybody else's?
Well, in my extensive medical training at OCC...
I was not talking to you.
We were not talking to you, sir.
We have a doctor on the show. We might as well go to him, D.O. Rowe.
Yeah, they're absolutely more at an increased risk. In fact, I saw a patient just the other day who's a type 1 diabetic, and she's been out of work because of this, and like going on 2 months now, and she needed another note to say that she still can't go back because of how bad it is. And this particular person was intubated when she got pneumonia one time, and we're talking somewhere like someone close to our age. We're all young, healthy guys, so that's just to kind of show you that these people are at very much increased risk. So I would definitely worry about them because they handle diseases a lot worse than the average person will.
Paul, thanks for saying I'm young. I really appreciate that.
And healthy.
And healthy, yeah. I've been turning my mic off every 3 minutes to cough. So, yeah, thanks for that. I really appreciate it.
And for answering the question and providing factual understanding of what could happen.
Yeah,
Eric meant to say that, too.
That so easily could have been that so easily could have been Russ finishing his question, then Paul goes, yep. And that could have been the end of it.
And it sure does.
Yeah, sure does. Obviously, as this kind of develops, because it sounds like we have a little bit of time before this is 100%, in play and ready to go. So obviously we'll be talking about this, and as new things come along or as we start to hate it more, we'll start venting about it more. I am interested to do a little deep dive on this and just see how many different – actually, Russ, there's your stat for the week I need next time. How many different ways can the Red Wings get screwed out of the first pick?
All the ways.
6 ways to Sunday, apparently. Okay.
All the ways.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are going to actually talk about the Wings. And this topic's been on the, like, I've literally put this topic into the rundown twice a week for the last 5 weeks since I thought of it. Now, obviously, part of it has been solved with Yzerman's announcement yesterday, but I still want to get into it as more of a generalized topic. So, Steve Yzerman announced yesterday Blashill will be coming back. Why, I don't know. That's not the topic. But he did announce that by the start of next season, he will name a captain. We're going to have someone with a C on a jersey for this upcoming season. And I just want to talk about, for me, and if I'm the only one, I'm the only one, and I'll stand alone as always. But for me, I feel like that C on the jersey, whether it's a Red Wing or a Lion, or, I mean, you know, the Lions have the captains and all that. I feel like that C doesn't mean what it used to mean in sports. It used to, like, you saw Steve Yzerman or Nick Lindstrom skating out there with that C on their chest. It meant something. Like, you knew that was an important player on this team. And I just feel like, whether it's the absence of it the last couple years or just in sports in general, that C doesn't mean the same as it used to. So I kind of wanted to, we're going to talk about that in a second, but I did want to ask you guys, a little off, because you guys have all played this sport, you know a little more than I do about it. So, Russ, I'll let you go first here. Assuming, and this is a big assumption and stretch, assuming it isn't Larkin, what does naming that captain do to that locker room? Larkin has kind of been a leader on this team for the last couple of years, absent the C. What does it do if he gets picked or someone gets picked over him? What does that potentially do to that locker room and to Larkin's credibility on the team?
Oh, I worry for who it might be. Because if it's Abdelkader, riots. That's what happens.
Riots
is what happens. Because Abdelkader shouldn't even be the captain with Grand Rapids right now. Although I'd be okay with that at least. To answer this question and a little bit of the other one, I don't think it matters as much as it used to. No. Because a lot of these players are self-actualizing as individuals now, and they know who the leader is. They don't need that validation there. However, it is still an accomplishment. It's still an honor, right? So if you have someone that has earned it and they're not given it, you lose trust in your front office. You can't constantly give him the whip and never the carrot. This is a big carrot. Larkin busted his ass. He's made huge strides, especially defensively, the last couple of years. So it might not functionally mean much, but this is still a chance to make good by your players. And the C is more for the fans than anything else, and damn it, we need some good news, right? So it can be worth something. Maybe as a placeholder, maybe as, like, the plaque you get from work for, like, Employee of the Month, but a lot better than that.
Yeah.
Kind of. But it's, I think things could go very wrong if it's someone that's not Larkin. And there's only like one or two guys that it can be without a complete revolt. And really, that's if I'm stretching. I think it kind of has to be Larkin.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. It's a big assumption to say otherwise, but assuming it isn't. So, Jay, I'll let you take a stab at this one. Assuming 71 doesn't get that C, what does it potentially do to this locker room? What does it potentially do to Larkin? Larkin has been the, at least on the ice as we see it, leader of this team over the last couple years.
Yeah, so Valtteri Filppula has to get the C on his sweater. No, are you kidding me?
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Yzerman brought him back, though. I haven't played with him. But it has to be Larkin. If you don't do Larkin, you're doing a disservice to everyone else. That's his, rightfully. And it should be his for a very, very long time, which is what the Red Wings typically do. So it's got to go to him. In terms of its importance, it's kind of what Russ was saying. Those types of social hierarchies are already established before they're given a C. I think the C is actually kind of useless. A lot of players have their own brands, their own endorsements, their own money, social media. They create them as an identity, which I've learned in the NBA is fucking awesome. But they get their own identities, and they sell themselves and empower themselves to be who they want to be in the brands. And they do all that off ice, on ice. It's a little shimmer at the end of what's already real. So if they give it to Larkin, that, you know, it lets me know that he's already claimed his dominance. He's peed on that fire hydrant, and he owns it. So I hope he's not peeing on people, but he is getting the C.
All right. D.O. Rowe?
Yeah, I'm another firm believer in Dylan Larkin getting the C as well. And so for what, you know, being the captain means to the team, so what we think it means is going to be different than what is actually happening in that locker room, you know. So I think the only player that we see, because we kind of rag on the Wings for not really having the personalities that other players really tend to show, like P.K. Subban is like a leader on and off the ice, and we know it, and he shows it. with the Wings, you know, we don't really get too much of that, but, you know, we get a bunch of great quotes out of Larkin, just to talk about how, you know, be patient with us. Like, we're going to come up. We will. That's obviously paraphrasing, but he shows, like, his belief in the team, his belief in the city, and you don't really hear too much of that from anyone else. And, you know, he's the guy who's, like, he's kind of like the hype man. And also, after games, like, he's right there getting everybody, you know, giving everybody knuckles as they go into and out of the locker room and on and off the ice. So he's kind of our glimpse into what the locker room is like. And if he's even more of an image in the locker room as he is to us, as we think him to be, you know, I think that he's definitely someone who should get that C. And I would be utterly shocked if he didn't, and pretty disappointed as well. Because I think he would be a great pick for us and for the team to be the captain.
Okay. All right. Now, this is where I get to have some fun, because as the host of the show, I get to make the rules. We're coming right back to you, Paul. Coming right back to you on this.
Okay.
Can't be Larkin. Can't be Larkin.
Roster real quick.
Who? No.
Yep,
who,
I'm pulling up a roster as we speak.
Who makes the short list? You can give me one name. You can give me a couple if that's what you're feeling. Who makes the short list of captain for the Detroit Red Wings?
Oh, man. You know, again, it's tough because Dylan is our glimpse into what that locker room might be like for leaders. So
exactly. But you have enough. You have enough youth on that team that, you know, you can throw a couple names out there. I understand, but assuming it's not Larkin, who gets the C if Yzerman decides to go in a different direction?
I hate this pick, but it's someone who comes to mind because maybe it will light a fire under him.
Oh, here it comes. Anthony Mantha.
There it is. I'm going to leave. I'm leaving. Anthony Mantha. I know. I don't like that because obviously I'm a big believer in Larkin being the captain. But the only reason – I know. I'm sorry, Justin. The only reason I have Mantha on that is to, like, put that weight on him, make him carry it, and make him show that, like, you know, he needs to be consistent. He needs to be a leader on and off the ice. He needs to have that responsibility and – basically as an indication to him that we expect more out of him. And hopefully that'll light a fire under his butt and get going.
Yeah, absolutely. The only name I had on this was Mantha, because that was the one I was going with. Jay, can you get back? That Gary Bettman picture's freaking me the fuck out, so I need you to sit back down. you're disappointed, you're upset, so that's a perfect time. It could be Justin giving us his opinion, or it could just be...
60 seconds.
Salt.
60 seconds of salt. Justin. Paul says Anthony Mantha. I kind of tend to agree. If it can't be Larkin, and I'm asking one thing out of you, and this might be a stretch, take this question seriously. Don't give me the answer I think you're going to give me. Who are you naming captain of the Detroit Red Wings if it's not Larkin?
Anyone from Mantha. No, just like, if you think about it, you're rewarding mediocrity. And fuck Anthony Mantha. I'm not here for that shit. Oh, I can't stand that guy. Paul, no offense to your selection. I utterly hate Anthony Mantha.
I do not understand why.
Yeah.
It'd be funny giving it to Lidstrom because it's like, but we're not doing that either. It would be Bertuzzi or Zadina. And if anything, I would err on the side of cute, not as an appearance, but as in the fact that he's just a gritty guy, and I would go with Bertuzzi. Because watching him, like, Jamie Benn draws my attention because he will fight people, and he's a captain, and he will score, and he'll get into the corners. He is a physical captain. I want a physical captain. So I would give it to Bertuzzi if I could.
You
also want a captain who won't go down.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah, but that's a whole other problem.
I'm astonished right now. I literally... I put the ball on the tee for him, told him he can't go out of bounds. You can say it and no one will be upset. He spent the last 2 years saying it, talked about having a t-shirt made. I believe he actually has a t-shirt of it, and he didn't pick Glennie. I am astonished right now. I was expecting it, and I was going to take it and be okay with it.
I think he's getting a shirt right now.
Yeah, he's going to get the shirt
right now.
There
it is.
There it is. Glennie with the C all day, every day. All right, Rusty. It can't be Larkin, which we all know it's more than likely going to be. If it isn't, Yzerman knows something about Larkin that we don't know. Like, maybe that Larkin doesn't intend to be here much longer. But if it's not Larkin, who makes the short list for you of donning that C next for the Detroit Red Wings?
I guess it gets to be me that says it. Sorry, Justin. I'm taking your girl to the ball. I would say Glendening.
Wow.
If it's not Larkin, it should be Larkin first and foremost.
Oh, absolutely.
But if we've learned anything with this front office, it's that they don't give letters lightly, and they don't take letters away. They didn't give Larkin his A permanently. He had to split it with Nielsen when he first got it.
Yep.
Nielsen, he's old, but relatively new to the team, under contract for 2 more years. That's not someone that you elevate higher than that, really. Advocator, he's more of a buyout candidate than a leadership candidate at this point, even though he's under contract for the next 3 years. So Glendening's the only other lettered player we have to talk about. Yeah, he's only under contract for 1 more year, but he's 31. He's a homegrown guy. He's one of those. He's someone you can sell to the fans as a stopgap until whoever you think will be a higher pedigree captain comes next. If there's really something wrong with Dylan Larkin, and I have no reason to believe that there is, I would only see Glendening as the other plausible option for this front office. And I can't believe these words are coming out of my mouth.
You're making me
happy.
I might
be having a stroke.
There should never be an instance where Anthony Mantha has to don the C, because we already have the guy who's going to don the C. And let's be honest, the captain is picking the next captain. So whoever he picks.
I know, isn't that poetic?
Yeah, you got to think that's the hand right there. Oh, Russ has something.
I have an idea.
Uh-oh.
Steve Yzerman came back on the 19th of April. 19?
Yep.
19th. Steve Yzerman said we'll get a captain by the time the next year starts. Now, that could be as late as January next year.
2021.
Or maybe as early as. Yeah, 2021. However, Dylan Larkin wearing 71, 7-1, July 1st. Here we go.
Oh, God.
Dude, I'll live for that.
Math is not
it. We're going to find out.
I don't like that.
5 days after the lottery, it's going
to
happen.
Your Ford University math does not make sense to me. I don't like it. No, it could happen. It could happen. It really could. All right. So to end this show, I want to put something out there. It kind of circles back to the C not meaning what it used to. Now I'm gonna name a couple names here, and mainly one. This guy probably did earn it, and I'll give it to him. But as I said earlier, the C not meaning what it used to, and everybody mentioned about how having to earn it. Does it seem like in today's game, whether it's hockey, hockey's really the only one where the captain is kind of predominant out there. Does it seem like today the captain or the C gets handed to just the new best player as a way of like, you're our best player, you're the focal point, let's put it on you. Connor McDavid wearing the C. The only place where I can think of it, it's not in that way, is Chicago, where it's Taze, not Kane, even though Kane's an assistant. Jay, for you, does that C just kind of get handed out two people as more of a, hey, you're here, you're our guy, here's our way of showing it to you?
Yeah, I think that's happened on rosters before when you've got older dudes or not that many long-term contracts, and it's just like, well, someone's got to be it, and you're the newest asset, so let's make it you.
Yeah.
But I think more often than not, if you are assessing your talent correctly, you're going to stand behind it because that's the centerpiece of your team for many years to come for any sport. So...
Well,
I got no problem.
We talked a lot about.
It does happen a lot.
No, we talked a lot about this guy when he made his decision, and I guess I should have more tailored it this way because it's the name I wanted to mention, and I just decided not to for some reason. Why is Austin Matthews not the captain? He's the center.
Toronto is fucky
because he's the centerpiece for the years to come. Tavares isn't, an old man, but Tavares isn't going to be there for another 10, 15 years, so. Russ, you got the hand up, so I'll let you take it. Why is it not the number one player on the team donning the C, and as Jay just said, the future of the franchise?
Well, to answer the Austin Matthews one directly, it's because if they gave it to him, they'd have to also give a C to Marner because he'd cry otherwise. And as we know, that's a lot of it. He also had the giant incident with a police officer where he was drunkenly doing inappropriate things, and that's a real tangible reason why he shouldn't be given the C, because he has poor judgment, but also the Marner thing, because that's kind of funny.
Oh, absolutely. But it's that standard of and we have to go back because, we have the greatest captain in the history of sports, at least to our opinion. The guy was the captain for
that's a fact.
30 years in the same team. He didn't get it handed to him right away. He did get it early on, but he had been there a couple years. He earned it, and he proved why he got to keep it. So I do understand that, but nowadays, to me, Paul, it seems like they're just kind of like, ooh, we drafted this guy. Okay, 2-3 years, let him play, and then, ooh, bam, here's the C. Even though this other guy's been here for 20 years and, you know, is on our all-time list, we're going to take the C from him, give it to you, because you're the new shiny toy, and we want you to understand you're the new shiny toy. Please don't leave us.
Yeah, I personally hate that. Like when Crosby just walked in and it goes, oh, Mr. Crosby, here's your C. You know, I hate when they do that. Like, I understand that, you know, it's kind of like what I said about Mantha. Like, they want to, like, throw that responsibility, throw that weight at them and see how they handle it and kind of elevate them with that responsibility. But I don't like that. I like the guy who's in there in the locker room for many, many years. He knows the team inside and out. And, you know, he's someone who's going to stay there and be there. Like, that's who should be your captain and someone who elevates you on and off the ice as well. And every team has a different atmosphere. They do different things with that. Like, for instance, I think Roberto Luongo was a captain at one point, and then someone else had to wear the C,
yeah,
which has to be really weird to be that person wearing someone else's C. So, like, teams just do weird stuff. I like the more traditional route of, like, you know, basically everything I just said. But, yeah, I every team has the right to do what they want to do with it, albeit I think it's weird. But, I mean, it is what it is. But, yeah, I think if in the traditional sense, I view that as being the right way to do it. So that's where I find the most meaning when a captain is through that route.
Okay. I like that. I like that. Jay, I see you nodding along. I wanna let you have the final say in all this.
I'm what? No, I'm just playing. You kidding me?
Well played.
No, I just you have to give it to your talent. When you recognize your talent, give them the C. I don't think that it can't be anyone but Larkin. Larkin's going to have it, and
sorry, you're going to have to edit that out. My earphone died.
Here you go. You have to keep talking, Jay.
I know you're going to have to edit that out.
Oh,
though.
No, it's fine. Just pick. All right, here, I'll just take it from this. Jay, I want to give you the final word in all this. I see you nodding along. You might as well wrap it up for us, your perspective on all this whole captain conversation.
I think the C is a little meaningless, but when you can assess your talent and find those guys who deserve it, you give it to them. But at the same sense, like Paul is saying, sometimes it has to be on a merit basis. You have to see what you have. So maybe some teams, they don't know what they have until they get on the ice and they command the room and then they get a C.
I like it. I like it. All right. Well, that is going to do it for us here on Armchair Sports Talk. Listen, I'm always happy to have him back. He was one of the pioneers of this show. Oh, yeah, you. I see a big smile on his face. D.O. Poliro. But you know what? It's great. We've done this show so many times. And over the time, we've talked injuries. We've had all this stuff. We've never really had a medical question that we can throw to Paul and get the feedback. And today, we were able to let him – you used – your 27 years of college education to explain to us how all this works. And we love it. Always great having you, Paulie.
Oh, thank you. It's always great when these two worlds collide. And I was happy to provide that information for everyone.
As always, Sergeant Salty, a.k.a. apparently Gary Bettman's best friend. You guys have literally been shoulder to shoulder for the last hour, and it's really scaring me. Always appreciate having you on, buddy. You are the Sergeant Salty, and wouldn't expect anything less.
Gary and I are utterly excited to watch Toronto lose to Columbus. So we're ready for this.
Hell yeah.
And as always, the Statman, Russ Ivanak. I think he earned that co-host tag today. He really did. I apologize. As someone literally wearing a U of M hat, for me to mess up where he went to college, it's disgraceful. And it proves Russ doesn't always make us sound a lot smarter than we really are.
No, I failed you there. But I just want to let you know that maybe the C is not as important as it used to be, but it was important to see you today. It was a blast. And just thank you for having the doctor on again so we can make America listen to a doctor.
Absolutely.
In these times. That's great. Good job, guys.
That was a good one, and he ended it well, so I love it. And as always, I am your host, Eric Dorsch. That is one small step for us, one giant leap back in Detroit sports broadcasting.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.